Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good morning. Thank you. I know this is the third week back, but welcome back, church. Amen. And happy Memorial Day weekend. Woohoo! Let us remember that it's not just about the barbecues and the extra day off, but it's about those who sacrificed their lives so that we may be free in this land and free to worship our Lord as well. Amen? Amen? God is so good, and we are so blessed here at Amazing Grace to be able to worship once again in community and in person. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we come to you scared, tired, and obedient, Father, in this troubled world. We ask that you take away any spirit of fear and give us all a spirit of faith, Lord. Lord, we come to you and we ask that you forgive us, Father, that you forgive us for the times that we were disobedient, that you forgive us for the times that we were lost, that you forgive us, Lord, for the times that we failed our household and fell short of glorifying you in everything we do. We humble ourselves today, Father, and we ask that you speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Obeying the Father is my sermon title today. Amen. And it's Colossians 3:18-25, as Pastor Perry read. Here we go. There were two lines of husbands in heaven. One for the dominant husbands and one for the passive husbands. The passive husband line extended almost out of sight, while there was only one man in the dominant husband line. He was a small, timid man, and he looked like anything but a dominant husband. And when an angel inquired as to why he was in this line, he said, "My wife told me to stand here." Now, I don't know about all the husbands out there, but except Pastor Rick, of course. But but as for me, I'm only dominant when my wife says it's okay. Amen? Right, Sarah? First verse, verse 18. We'll lead right into that first verse. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. No. Now, what Paul is saying here, it seems to be something very radical. It seems to be like a restrictive statement, but it's actually liberating. A lot of the problems that we are having in society today is because we have rejected the Christian framework of a family life and replaced it with a progressive way of life that we don't know when or where it's going to stop. That is why we find ourselves in such difficulties today. These verses are not about master and servant, Pastor. It's about two equal partners called husband and wife. Notice what the Apostle Paul says to the wives. He says, wives submit to who? To her own husband. He's not saying women submit to all men. The Bible never commands a general submission of women to men in society. This instruction Paul is giving is in the context of a marriage. In the context of loving and a trusting relationship. Now, we live in a culture that is overrun with a sense of entitlement. As a supervisor, ministry leader, parent, and grandparent, I deal with this every week. We live in an age of the selfie. Even as I speak, millions of selfies are being uploaded to social media all around the world. Now remember, not all selfies make the grade. Only the good pics are published. Now I say all this because the relationships in life that work are not ones built on an attitude of self or a sense of entitlement. Selfless relationships make the happiest marriages. Selfless. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:5, love is not self-seeking. True love will always put the good of the other person first. Anybody who wants to express true biblical love will not insist on getting their own way or demanding their own rights. True love in a Christ-driven relationship will always put the other person first. In fact, that is what every Christian husband and wife promises each other when they say, to have and to hold, from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, until death do us part. The key in making such a vow is always love for the other person, because then submission is not a burden, but a delight. But a happy marriage does not come automatic. It takes a lot of work. Just kidding. Sarah and I have been happily married for 5 years, 7 months, and 30 days. But who's counting? When we first started dating, I used to brag about how we never argued. But as the years went on, and my drinking got worse, harsh reality began to set in, and I knew something had to change. That change was Jesus Christ. We had both been raised Catholic, and we attended church most Sundays, but I was not living my life for Christ. I was living my life for me. Today we live our lives for Christ and are very happy and successful. God is good, so good, and I shudder to think what life would be like without the Lord. Today's text talks about instruction for a Christian household. And verse 18 not only says submit, it also says to submit as is fitting in the Lord. Fitting in the Lord, pleases the Lord, and is working for the Lord. Folks, if we want peace, joy, and happiness in our homes and in our lives, we must live in reverence of the Lord. Healthy relationships, marriages, and families don't happen by accident or chance. They happen because we are intentional. Here are some important questions that we should ask ourselves as fathers and leaders in our household. What is your plan? One is, what is your plan as a father to grow? What goals have you set for your family? How will you help your family achieve those goals? And how will you remind yourself of those goals? Also, who have you shared your plan with that can encourage you and pray for you? In Celebrate Recovery, we would call this person a sponsor or accountability partner. As the leader of your family, these are essential questions you should ask. Pastor Rick Warren said, you can either live intentionally or you can live accidentally. Don't settle for the odds of an accidental life, but pursue the success of an intentional life and determine a plan with your family. Verse 19 says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Paul says men are to relate to their wives lovingly, not harshly, as husbands did in the ancient non-Christian culture of his time. So husbands are told to love their wives in a considerate way. In the following verses of Ephesians, Paul tells us how husbands should love their wives. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. If the husband will do these things, then the commands of the wife will be much easier for her to fulfill. It has been said that women desire the most to be truly loved, and what men want the most is to be respected. Sounds about right. It shouldn't be hard for a woman to genuinely respect a man that truly loves her. Amen? Nor is it hard for a man to truly love a woman that generally respects him. However, In order to fulfill and sustain these God-given roles, we must walk with Christ and we must practice agape love, which is a love that arises from the will and sacrifices of oneself for the best interests of the spouse. This is the love that Jesus had for us. This is the love that we are to have for one another in a Christ-centered marriage. Agape love. Amen? Okay, we get into the children now. Amen? Verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. The next family relationship that should be affected by our new identity in Christ is the children's relationship to their parents. So in this verse, who is the word children referring to? Does it refer to any particular age group? No. It refers to any child still living in the home or still being provided by the parents. I'm sure a lot of us have either been the child or have had adult children living in our homes. This seems to be much more prevalent these days. But regardless of the generation or the age, respect and obedience should always be given to your parent or caretaker, because this is what pleases the Lord. Because Christian children have a relationship with God, they should not be identified as disobedient to their parents at any age. When Scripture talks about the pagan world that denied God, one of the ways they characterize it is by children's disobedience to their parents, not Christ-like. Romans 1:28-30 talks about that. It says, furthermore, just as they did not think it would be worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not be done. They have been filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. And lastly, they disobey their parents. Disobeying parents is just one of the many things that start to happen in a world or a household that denies God. If a child does not obey his parents in everything and recognize their authority, then they get the chunkla. That's a joke. The chunkla. They get the chunkla. Most people in our congregation will get that.
Okay. I don't. What's a
chunkla? A chunkla is a sandal that a Mexican mother throws at her kid when they don't listen.
Okay.
From about 20 yards out. So, just kidding. So, anyway, the chancla. If a child does not obey his parents, then the child will not recognize other authoritative people in their lives. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
The importance of obedience to parents is seen in the fifth commandment, which says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. When we look at our world today, it is marked by a lack of authority. Children no longer obey their parents. Students have no respect for teachers. Employees dishonor their employers. And everyone, almost everyone, denies the authority of God. The world is a mess, and without more accountability, more discipline, and reverence for God, it's not going to get any better anytime soon. Verse 21 says, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. This sin is committed not only by fathers, though fathers seem to do it more often, but also by mothers. Parents embitter their children by not disciplining them first and foremost. This is one of the quickest ways to develop bitter children. A spoiled child is a child that is thankless and bitter. Because they get their way all the time, they're bitter whenever someone does not give them what they want, or life becomes too difficult. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Amen? Solomon said it well in Proverbs 22 when he said, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive him far from it." Growing up, my dad always had the rod. It was a black belt, actually, readily available. Let me tell you, he did not have to use it often, but we sure got the message when he did. And those seeds of discipline and respect for elders never left me. Thanks be to God. The second thing is parents embitter their children by abusing them or giving improper discipline. So I'm not condoning abuse. Amen? When children are abused, either verbally or physically, it sows seeds of anger or hatred in their hearts. And this anger is hard to get out. Many times these children grow up to abuse others because of the anger that is in them. And I'm sure Pastor Perry experiences that all the time, deals with that quite often. We need to be kind and considerate with our children. Amen. Number three, parents embitter children by neglecting them. I see this a lot in young parents today, just pacifying children with technology or passing them off to other family members. We must spend precious time with our children, or ultimately we will hurt them emotionally and spiritually. I see that much too often. That's just a few examples. Here's one more example of what Paul said to the fathers. In Ephesians 6:4, he said, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." Exasperate is irritate or frustrate. "Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Amen? Amen. Our next text says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord." Verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." And 24, "Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving." So here, slaves receive the same command as children, except it's towards their masters. Though some of our youth may think that they're slaves themselves, slaves are also called to obey in everything. However, if a person or child never learns obedience at home, he will likely struggle with disobedience for the rest of his life. A child that is disobedient to his or her parent will likely disobey every authority. They will disobey their teachers, they will disobey their boss, the law, and worst of all, they will disobey God, the ultimate authority. Now, in Paul's day, slaves were owned, yes, but their lives were better than most people that were trying to make a living in small business. Nothing like the history of slaves that we have here in the U.S. They were well-fed, well-educated at times. They lived in good homes provided by the master and were often freed out of gratitude for service that they had rendered. So today's comparison would be how an employee respects his employer. We should be hardworking even when the boss is not around. This will raise your value in their sight. It's hard to get that message across these days. Very hard. If you can't be trusted to do your job when the boss is not around, at the very least, you will never promote and likely will not last with the company. I've seen it many times. Another great reason that we work as if we're working for the Lord is because even though the boss may not be around, God sees you and your work, and you will be called to account for it. But an even bigger reason for those who call themselves Christians is out of reverence for God and the knowledge that even though they are working for an earthly boss, their real boss is God Himself. David Guzik said, the Christian who is a dishonest, lazy, or unreliable worker has something far worse to deal with than a reprimand from his earthly supervisor. His heavenly supervisor may prepare a reprimand as well. It works both ways as well. As a manager, being kind, considerate, and fair to your employees pays off and pleases God. I tend to recite James 1:19 quite often to remind myself to be patient and considerate when I get frustrated. It says, dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I probably say that verse 6 or 7 times to myself a day. All our resources are God-given. We are only giving God back a small portion of what He has given us. Giving to the work of God is simply investing in an eternal future. Heaven's 401k. If we really believe we are headed to heaven, why wouldn't we want to invest in the kingdom? The kingdom of heaven is our inheritance. Refusing to give to God is simply a life focused on ourselves and not focused on the kingdom. Aristotle, the ancient Greek philosopher and scientist, put it this way. He said, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. The pursuit of excellence is a direction, not a destination. The pursuit of excellence is something we must strive for until God calls us home. Whether in our jobs, marriages, families, or households, we must always strive for excellence. Excellence means being your best. Excellence means being better tomorrow than you were yesterday. We are to be the best we can be as we daily serve our Lord. We are called to seek His will and purpose, and we are called to be the people that God wants us to be. Amen? And with that, I'll just say that I pray that God goes before each and every one of us and our families, and that He gives us the strength and the courage, the knowledge and the wisdom to do what we need to do and bring our families to Christ and live our lives for Christ. Amen? God's peace and purpose be with you all. Thank you. Pastor?